Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It was a call made by our Minister for the Environment, Eamon Ryan, some time ago. Well, now the owner of a wildlife park in County Donegal wants wolves reintroduced to the wild in Ireland. Cillian McLaughlin is founder of Wild Ireland Animal Sanctuary in Donegal. And he says the move could help tackle the issue of the rising deer population across the country. And Cillian is on the line now to talk to me a little bit more about this. Good morning, Cillian.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for joining us. Tell us why you think this might work.
Claire, we've seen an increase over the last recent period of road traffic collisions with deer in the Donegal area. And firstly, I should point out that I'm not proposing opening the gates of Wild Ireland and releasing wolves into the Donegal countryside. I'm talking about a science-based management and a restoration of our ecosystem. And I say this in light of the COP27. I say this in light of Ireland having declared a climate emergency earlier this year. And Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, said that we're on the highway to climate hell with our foot on the accelerator. And David Attenborough has made an impassioned plea for change as well. I'm talking about an ecosystem restoration where deer numbers are controlled naturally. Our politicians are typical knee-jerk political response, kill, 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 kill. I've looked at the science behind this, and the science is saying that culls don't work. Some papers actually suggest that a cull can increase the amount of deer in the area because you're knocking out the dominant animals that are holding territory and keeping the subordinate animals at bay. When the big fella gets taken out, the subordinates come in, they have a field day, and they increase in number. And I looked at the figures from the Department of Agriculture, and they seem to reflect that, Claire. For example, in 1995, a cull of deer killed 4,500 deer. And year on year, that has increased to the most recent figure that I could find in 2020, where they culled 40,000 deer. That's a tenfold increase, which shows that culling doesn't work.
I just want to bring in Michael McLafferty here, independent councillor for Donegal. Michael, you're welcome to the programme. Now, I don't know much about wolves, but I would imagine their palate isn't that discerning. So if they can't see a deer this morning for breakfast, but they see a sheep, they'll go for that.
100% clear, and good morning to yourself and your listeners. That's the whole problem here. And look, first of all, setting out here from the beginning, this is no disrespect to Killian's points. I have nothing against what Killian's saying. This is just two different points of views. He has his views, I have my views, and that's what we're hearing here this morning. Nothing else for the listeners there to be aware of. But I don't agree with this idea wolves being introduced into the wild again, and the thought that it's going to keep down the deer population. I don't believe it's going to work.
Why?
For a number of reasons. Well, as you touched on yourself there, the wolf clearly is going to go for easy picking. He's going to, like where we live here in Donegal, for example, and he's killing those wellies down the road from me. Where we live here in Donegal, Claire, it's mainly mountain areas and so on, mountain ranges. We're vastly populated with sheep, with cattle, some horses here and there, so on, various other kinds of wildlife. And the wolf clearly, if you had wolves running rampant through Donegal, that's what's going to happen. They're going to go for the sheep, they're going to go for the goat, they're going to go for the young calves, the lambs, the cows, etc. They're not going to bother with the deer necessarily.
Because they're harder to catch.
They're going to be harder to catch. So obviously he's sitting up on the mountain. He's sitting up on the mountain to get captured. The wolf's sitting up on the mountain looking into the valley below. He has all the animals, farm animals below him. He's the sheep, or the deer's probably to his rear behind him. It's clear what he's going to go for, and that's the way it's going to be.
Well, let's see what Cillian says about that, and I'll come back to you in a minute. Cillian, on that point, do they go for the easy catch?
No, Claire, the science says differently. I understand where that fear is coming from, and it's really an attitude from the 1600s when we saw Oliver Cromwell coming in and saying, kill all the deer. The science says different. The US Department of Agriculture did a huge study over 25 years, and they looked at all causes of livestock death in America, and it showed that wolves made up a very, very small percentage of that. Dogs, for example, killed a lot more sheep and cattle than wolves did. Disease, neglect, all these other things. And when they examined the dung of the wolves, the wild wolves, they found that domestic animals made up less than 1% of their prey. And we look to our close neighbours. Ireland is now, I believe, the only country in the EU that does not have wolves. Britain having left. Holland, for example, it's about Ireland's about 70% larger than Holland, with three times the population, and they have wolves there, and we're not seeing them attacking and killing sheep. Turkey, for example, look, there is no doubt that releasing a carnivore into the wild is a risk to livestock, but we look to Turkey, where there was a compensation scheme set up to compensate farmers for any losses, and the farmers actually employed shepherd dogs to protect their livestock, and the wolf attacks on sheep went to virtually zero. So we looked to our neighbours on the continent, and they're farming quite happily and profitably with wolves and a much healthier ecosystem than we have here in Ireland.
If you bring the wolves in, you're talking about a compensation scheme and potentially shepherd dogs. This is getting very complicated.
Well, Claire, we have two types of farmers in Ireland. We have livestock farmers and we have tillage farmers, crops. They are not compensated when herds of deer move into their farm and destroy their crops, which they do. They eat grass. They also affect forestry as well. Are the foresters compensated when the deer eat the bark from the trees? This is a much wider debate and ultimately affects us all. We all know the effects of climate change. And, you know, those statements that the councillor is making there about wolves are going to go for sheep are simply not backed up by any facts or figures. And if the councillor has facts or figures in that direction, I'd be really interested to hear them, because I certainly can't find any.
Michael?
Yeah, no problem at all. I have facts here, no problem at all for Killian, and I'm sure, Killian, you're well aware of this too. 9,872 animals, mainly sheep, were killed in 2020, it was there, on the continent. And we'll go back, and you may reference Cromwell's time there, so we'll go back, we'll fast forward from Cromwell to 1820, where I'm sure Killian's aware of this. I'm not sure if a boy or a girl, male or female, was Jacinda, G-Y-S-I-N-G-E for the listeners' benefit. Jacinda, I'm sure Killian's familiar with this guy. He injured 19 people, Claire. He killed 12, mainly kids, back in 1820 in Sweden. So no point Killian trying to tell me or anybody else, or trying to convince me or anybody else, that introducing wolves into the wild is not going to affect farm animals. Yeah. And so on, and they're not going to attack humans. There will not be a child, a walker, jogger. There were actually a jogger as well killed there in 2020 by a wolf as well, out jogging. It's November 25. There were a person killed.
So you're concerned about the impact on humans as well. Are the wolves interested in humans, Killian?
Well, you know, we're talking about saving human lives here, and we're having all these road traffic collisions. There was a study in America where Jennifer Rayner examined the economic impact that wolves had in Wisconsin, and she found that in areas that had wolves, there was a reduction in road traffic collisions with deer by 24%. She looked then at neighbouring areas that didn't have wolves and were relying on human culling to reduce numbers of deer, and the same results couldn't be replicated by human culling. Mm-hmm. The wolves create a landscape of fear that protects people on the roads. I also looked to a really interesting paper by the Norwegian Institute of Nature Research, and that's an 18-year-long study from 2002 till 2020, and it's called Wolf Attacks on Humans. And they concluded that your chances of being killed by a wolf are above zero, but too small to calculate. Most attacks were when people interfered or tried to kill wolves. And just to put that into...
So they'll attack you if you attack them, otherwise they're not really interested in humans. Is that what you're saying?
In the 18 years that the study took place, there was one person killed by a wolf in the United States.
Yeah, I have lots of messages coming in from listeners, Killian and Michael, and this one. The problem with having wolves in the wilds of Ireland is that they're bound to end up at some stage or another in our back gardens like foxes do for an easy meal. So that's children and other people at risk, Killian. What do you say to that?
Again, that goes back to fear, Little Red Riding Hood, and lack of education. Claire, the figures and the studies aren't there to back it up. 22 people are killed every year by cattle in the United States. Do we ban cattle as well? People on the roads are at risk from deer. It's proven that wolves keep deer off the road. Also, disease, Claire, wolves are actually... There was a 2019 study that found that in areas where there were healthy populations of wolves, there was a marked reduction in the prevalence of disease. Mm-hmm. Diseases like Lyme disease that affect so many people in Ireland, and it's a debilitating disease. TB, which will actually wipe out your entire herd of cattle. You might lose one or two over the course of 10 years to a wolf, but if you get TB in your herd, you're going to lose them all.
And that's carried by the deer, is it?
Deer certainly do carry it, yes.
Okay, and Michael, just on the problem of deer, you know, wrecking crops as we've seen in some parts of the country, the expanding deer population is clearly a problem. So how do you fix that if you don't go down the wolf route?
Well, first of all, just to go back there to Kelly in a minute, and he doesn't have to come in this, but I'd just like it to be put to him. Is he aware of that wolf I said there, just singe? Is he aware of that wolf in Sweden? I would like to know that if he's aware of that wolf or not. And get back to the deer.
Which wolf now? The wolf that kills somebody, is it?
The wolf that I said there at the beginning killed, injured 19 people and killed 12. Most of the 12 kids were kids.
That was back in the 1800s, was it?
1820 in Sweden. Mm-hmm. That's well documented. Mm-hmm. Justine was the name that they've adapted.
You have to go back a long way, Michael, now to find a scary wolf is killing people.
Well, that's going back that far, yes, Claire, but there is other instances. We'll fast forward here to 91, 98 attacks out there in Iran, 321 of those, 1991, 321 of them, but as a result of ended up with rabies. There is a situation as well that these wolves can carry rabies as well.
But dogs can carry rabies too. And just, can you go back to the problem of the deer, though, Michael? How are you going to fix that without the wolves?
Well, the way it can contribute to being fixed, first of all, we need to get an actual policy in place through our councils, and one which I will be bringing up now at the end of the month here with the Galway County Council, looking to introduce a policy going forward. How can we do that? We have 5,500 at the minute here, Claire, licensed hunters through Donegal here at the minute. From Donegal and outside, 5,500 licenses, gun licenses, that is. And that's people with high velocity rifles, can carry quite a distance. That will contribute in some way to killing them.
So you want hunters to go out and shoot them?
Well, Claire, in a humane way, we're looking here at a deer call. We're looking at a proper policy. We're not saying hunters to go out and shoot them, go mad like the Wild West, Claire, to be fair. But what we're looking at here...
I don't know. I mean, you're saying there's 5,500 people with gun licences. Let them roam free in the woods and shoot the deer.
That's easily found out. Like, that's the amount of licences are issued there at the minute. I mean, there's no getting away from that. That's the facts, like. But what I'm saying here is, as well, we need to get a proper policy.
Yeah, you heard Killian, though, there saying that the cull doesn't necessarily work because they could actually breed in more numbers if they don't have their organisation around them that they would naturally put in place.
Well, the cull will work all right, Claire, because what you do with the cull, first of all, the main thing you do with the cull, you start and you target the stags. Them, first of all.
That's the problem, Killian said.
Sorry?
That's the problem, because the stag keeps order on the rest of them, and once you take the stag out, it's a breeding free-for-all.
Well, there's no breeding free-for-all, because if you have no stag, you're going to have no babies. As simple as that. If you take away the male, the female's not going to... There's going to be no babies introduced.
Killian, will you address that and explain to us why that won't work?
Yeah, so the stag is a big fella with the antlers, and when he's taken out, all the smaller, weaker guys that might have broken antlers, maybe they've got disease, you know, the ones that the hunters probably aren't targeting, they're going to get in, they're going to breed, and you actually end up with a very unhealthy population of deer. You're taking the big, healthy animals out of the population, and that's unsustainable. And, you know, these typical knee-jerk reactions from uneducated politicians is what's wrong with the world. You know, they're denying science here. This is science-based management of our native wildlife that I'm talking about. And, you know, it makes sense. When you take the big healthy guys out, you're left behind with the weak, and we're going to lose all of our wildlife if that's the attitude. And I'm shocked in 2022 that that's still the attitude that goes back to the 1600s.
Michael?
First of all, Claire, it's not a knee-jerk reaction, as Killian keeps insisting putting it there. And I will put it to Killian again. Is he aware of this wolf called Justine? Forget about the scary and everything. Is he aware of it? Because if he's not aware of it, he hasn't obviously done the reading that I've done. You can go back that far. There's plenty of reading there for the present day. As I said, from 91 onwards, probably up until very close here to what we're talking about.
All right. I wouldn't expect Killian to know about a wolf 200 years ago. But I will say to you, Killian, that what I'm seeing reflected in the emails and the text messages that we're getting is that a lot of people would be very concerned if we were to do this.
And understandably so, Claire. You know, we've been indoctrinated by the fairy tales to be afraid of the big bad wolf. And that really comes down to education and learning that these animals are not out there to kill humans. I guarantee that if we put wolves back in the Irish countryside, we would hardly ever see them. They avoid man at all costs. I, as you know, spend every day with wolves. I know how to move around them. I've been in the wilds of Canada and I have never seen a wolf in the wild because they've seen me coming or they've heard me coming, and you just do not see them. It's just about education. Look to the continent. Michael's talking about the one wolf 200 years ago that killed somebody. I challenge him to find a more recent one that didn't involve rabies or somebody provoking and annoying wolves. And think about the tourism as well, Claire, that would come in to see these wolves in the wild. I'm thinking like Yellowstone National Park. There was a big study in Scotland into the economic benefits of bringing back the wolf, and tourism was booming. Donegal's a forgotten about county up here. There's a housing crisis. Imagine all that money coming into the county. And of course, the saving that economist Jennifer Raynor looked at the saving, and I think taxpayers' money could be spent mm-hmm. in a far better way than culling. And, you know, can you imagine the carbon footprint of killing 40,000 deer every year?
Well, I have a text here from Declan and Cavan, who says he's an animal lover and a farmer who's against hunting for sport. But he says people have trouble regarding deer in those areas where deer are plentiful. But to deal with wolves as well would be astoundingly worse.
So the really interesting thing about an apex predator is that they never overpopulate. So when they take care of the deer numbers, their population then decreases as well, and they get into an equilibrium. And wolves are actually very easy to live alongside. Ireland, as I said, Ireland is one of the few places in the world in the Northern Hemisphere that don't have wolves. You know, you look at America, they live alongside them. You look at our neighbours in mainland Europe. I've been to northern Spain. It's very like Ireland. There's big green fields. I can tell you, they're full of sheep and they're full of cows, and the farmers are farming very profitably alongside them.
Right.
Belgium, Holland, all these places. It's just about education. As I say, always, that's what Wild Ireland is about.
All right, Killian.
Teaching people about our native animals.
Killian and Michael, we'll leave it there. Killian McLaughlin from Wild Ireland Animal Sanctuary in Donegal and independent councillor in Donegal, Michael McLafferty. A conversation which has piqued the interest of many people who've got in touch with us this morning. We'll take a break back after this.